Hey everybody, it's Off The Ball, it's Gerry Gilroy here. Now before you dive into this podcast, let me tell you that William Hill have decided racing needed a bit of a shake-up. So they brought in the new Racing Bet Builder. It lets you combine multiple picks from the same race into one personalised bet. Basically more options, more control and fewer excuses if your mate's bet beats yours. Pick top three finishes, go head-to-head or call exact positions all in a single bet. It's racing from a new angle and it's live now with William Hill. Get the app, start building your bet today. It's over 18s only. Gamble responsibly. Visit gamblingcare.ie. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Football on Off The Ball.
I just really cared about what Ludwig Gibbs said. How much thinks and Paddy McCarthy thinks, John O'Shea thinks, Don Healy read into all the other comments.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off The Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Good morning, and we hope you are enjoying your Christmas week, folks. This is day three of the Christmas festivals of racing, and this is the third Racing Pod of four on Off The Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Today and tomorrow at 10:30, we will bring you expert analysis, race previews in depth, and obviously the all-important tips. And we are delighted to remind you folks as well that the Racing Pod on Off The Ball is free wherever you get your podcasts, sponsored by William Hill. And we're delighted as well to introduce again, as we spoke to him yesterday, Tom Malone of the Irish Field. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, John. Yeah, as we're going to mention off air, there's some tough going yesterday at Leopardstown picking them. And I suppose, unfortunately as well, with Marine Nacional, if you'd followed him in, you knew your fate pretty early after you made that horrendous mistake.
Johnny Ward, I was looking through the odds here. I don't know if my maths is any good, but Sammy Ewing rode a 12,662-1 treble on Solness, Favre de Champ 2, and Hardy Stuff. What the hell is going on?
The main point about that is that if you go to the 147, which was the novice hurdle won by Skylight Hustle, inevitably Gordon Elias, Talk the Talk for me was 100% going to win that race under Sam Ewing. And it was a little bit like Jack Kennedy on day one, where he just kind of dusted himself down, as they say, and just started riding winners, resumed riding winners. But this was one that could really have gotten you. It was my selection in the race. Looks a really, really nice horse. I just think there's so much to take out of Leopardstown with a view to Cheltenham. It's, you know, some of the Cheltenhams in recent years, JD, I found them, they haven't had the magic of old. I think this Cheltenham is shaping up to be something a bit special, and I know we're here to talk about Leopardstown, but like some of the performances, including of horses who actually didn't win, were fallers or finished second or whatever, were really, really taken. I had a proper bet on Marine Nacional yesterday with my on-course bookie at 5-2, and I was watching it on the, we're travelling down to Galway to see my folks yesterday, so I'm watching it in the back of the car whilst trying to work or whatever. And I'm not a big fan of that kind of, I don't know what Bugsy thinks, I'm not a big fan of the roving camera. I prefer the old style camera. I think it's just easier to know what's going on. But Jesus Christ, Sean Flanagan, the recovery on that horse. And then he ended up being beaten, what, about half a length? It was incredible. Now, it was happily for me, the big Westerner was running in the very next race. So that was probably my bet of the day. And she was good in a thriller. But what a day for Sam Ewing. And like racing is a game in which you have to be patient, and you can get maybe frustrated at lack of opportunities. But Gordon Elliott, he really spreads around the opportunities for his riders. You see Danny Gilligan riding good winners at Limerick as well, and Sam's a proper rider.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, John, yeah, just on that camera angle, because it was particularly evident at Chepstow as well in the Welsh National, where there's obviously a massive field and they go to the truck camera on the inside. And while you can see maybe the first three or four jumping well, anything that's upsides on the far side, you can't see at all. And again, during the Paddy Power as well, obviously I had my eye on Pied Piper and he hardly got a mention, possibly because he was there in the middle of the field and that inside camera just doesn't capture a lot of them. But I'm with you on that. It was a fantastic day.
Well, for example, JD, like the race and post comment in running on the race is jinked right and nearly lost jockey after second. Now, I don't really know if that's what happened, because it looked like he made a mistake and then he was sort of carried right. And to jink right is an implication of being kind of ungenuine almost, or like, you know, being a bit about your mind or whatever. I'm not sure Marine Nacional did that. Now, he has made mistakes before and he probably will make mistakes again, but I just don't actually really know what happened with that. But what I was trying to figure out, because I wanted a sob story, like how many lengths did he lose there? To me, it looked like about 8 or 10. And by the time I started watching the race again, when I kind of I suppose when Gerry Hannon started, resuming his commentary after the mistake, it seemed like he was back sort of on the bridle in a nice position. But I don't know exactly what happened at that second, and I'd like to see another angle of it.
He's definitely the horse to take out of it for Cheltenham, though, again, isn't he? Re National.
What about Mashburn?
Mashburn, they should be going up and trip. I mean, that's what I've said. I've said this yesterday. I've said this before. I mean, I thought Mashburn was meant to be a Gold Cup horse. Often you get a horse that wins a Triumph Hurdle, like a Comanche Court, and they end up going up and trip. Tiger Royal went up and trip in his career after winning the Triumph Hurdle. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of, they don't want to bottom out horses by running them over long distances. But to me, it strikes me that Mashburn should be going up and trip.
Well, to be honest, I'll get maybe Tom come in on this. I thought there was a lot of positives from yesterday in the sense that his jumping just seemed to be a lot more accomplished, going left-handed. And you're not the only person, JD, to say the trip is the thing with him. It looked a bit like that as well with Romeo Coolio that he wants further. But if Mashburn does want a trip, I actually think there were positives to take from it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I thought maybe there was a stage after when they came to that third or fourth last. And I thought that Mark Walsh might then just look to kind of go on and really use Majra's big stride and just, because he jumped so well, he'd been nice and careful, he'd been very straight. I just thought maybe that was the moment then to say, right, okay, let's use the talent we know you have. And when the horse can just get rolling, and he just never really let him to get rolling, then maybe the race kind of got away from him a little bit. But I thought if he was going to do anything yesterday, he had to do it about three or four out. And, then it got into, more tests of speed, solidness. Great ride from Sam Ewing on the front as well to get, it looks easy to do, but it's really not. You think maybe with someone like Solness, you just book out and he does it for you. But he really controlled the race very, very well. And even, I suppose, that's one of the reasons why maybe he sort of might have lulled Marine Nationale into a false sense of security, because he didn't go crazy to, take him out of the race completely. So he just made sure that, because as you see it, Leopard saying, horses get caught up that straight all the time, flat National Hunt. It doesn't matter. They get caught out coming home at Leopard saying, even over 2 miles and one. So that was an excellent ride on Solness to judge those fractions.
How did Favourite Deschamps do in that race, that Paddy Power race? 66-1. He was eighth in that last year. I always thought he was a horse who's better going right-handed. He's 10. Like, how did that happen?
Well, yeah, I mean, I was joking about came in 18-1, JD, over the Christmas that I've had. Search for Glory was second at 18-1, but I think results like this, I've gone on record, I'm not a big fan of these races for punting. I think they're really, really tough. Like, and I say my selection of the race, Ballysacks Hank, like, you go from thinking you're in it with a great chance to finish in eighth because maybe he's just a little bit high in the weights and he didn't quite get home as well as others. But these races, this is a victory for the integrity of Michael O'Leary as a racing owner and Jigginstown, because these horses, unlike other connections, like Jigginstown horses are really, really honestly campaigned all the time. Like, they're just honestly campaigned all the time, and that's not the same as and I know there's a sense of frustration sometimes at the handicapper and stewarding and all that, but Jigginstown, they run their horses honestly, and this is why you get results like this.
Yeah, and just the horse as well. Like, he had class, and it's actually a victory for persevering with horses as well. He was bought as a 4-year-old with an enormous reputation from Warren Ewing, Sam's dad, actually, as a 4-year-old, having won his point to point. Obviously, they had very high hopes for him. Didn't quite work out, but they stuck with the horse. And at 10 years of age, he's still going to win in a Premier Handicap, which I think everybody who buys a point to pointer should probably just take a breath and realize, they're point-to-pointers. A lot of time, they might need a little bit of time. Don't worry just because they haven't, won a Supreme or won a graded race by age six. There's still plenty of mileage in them. And, they're jumps horses. They should keep going till they're 10. So I just thought it was a victory as well for that, mentality of just sticking with the horse and keeping going. Because that bit of back class, like you said, Johnny, that honest campaigning, it can play into their hands a bit, because, they can be dropped 5 or 6 or 7 pounds for a few, runs that aren't brilliant, and all of a sudden they're reading with a chance on ratings.
It was something Sam Ewing did. Well, sorry, Judy, it's something I was thinking of. Like, there are so much racing could do better in terms of the data of even what speed are horses going in specific races. What's the heart rate of the jockey in races? Why are horses being held up out the back in a beginner's chase when that's not the way they're normally ridden? Like, all of these things, I think, in terms of racing integrity, and I know the Turf Club's going through flux at the moment, I think there's so much more we can do. And I will always, 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 he's not for everyone, I'll always condone Michael O'Leary in the sense that his horses are absolutely honestly campaigned, and if you back them, they're trying.
Yeah, fact.
Interesting with Sam Ewan, he went in both races, Solness and Fabry Deschamps too. He got the better ground in the running. I noticed that quite starkly, that he knew where the better ground was.
I think as well as that, there's probably an element of just getting a good clear run. You know what I mean? When you swing round for home and you kind of want one good consistent run, if you do kind of come near a standside, yes, you're getting better ground, but you're also guaranteed not to have to change your horse's line. And, you know, if you're just kind of riding for momentum, you're going to get a clear run at the line and you can chase something down. So when you're coming off the pace, it's yes, it's the good ground, but it's also just you're kind of guaranteed that clear run. You can have a really good sight at the last, and then you just know, you just change your hands, kick him in the belly and just drive him on up the straight, and you'll have a good clear run at whatever's in front.
Should they be aiming Haiti Clure at the Gold Cup now? I mean, it's won the Welsh National, carrying a massive weight, won the Irish National, great jumper, has won at Cheltenham the festival last season. Should they go for gold?
I think so, Tom. Like, I mean,
yeah, I would, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I don't think the King George, it was probably one of the best races I've ever seen, but I don't think it screamed like a load of Gold Cup winners coming out of it, or a load of Gold Cup candidates. And for me, the Gold Cup is almost entirely down to, I know the way you're thinking, but if you take him out, Haiti Clure, if you've course form and you're a bonnie jumper out in front, the Gold Cup's an incredible jumping test. Absolutely. Like, we saw Denman winning, you know, the Hennessy to go on as a big handicapper to go on and become a brilliant staying chaser. That's what I would. Why not dream?
Yeah, I was actually thinking of that. When he picked it up, a full circuit out, I was like, are you going to do this? And then by the time we came to the sort of third or fourth last, I was thinking, this fella's like Denman. Now, I went and looked it up then. Denman won his Hennessy's off 161 and 174, which is just absolutely phenomenal. But still, look, he's won there off 155. He's one-handed. He's broken all their hearts. Absolutely. Why wouldn't he go for the gold? What other race can you go for with him? You know, you're going to end up in a Grand National where his jumping is such an asset, and we've spoken about it in the past. The Grand National is not that jumping test like the Gold Cup is. And yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't. You know, he jumps and stays, and so much of a Gold Cup is that. You know, and like you said, I mean, really, you could see him easily breaking the heart of a Gaelic Warrior or a Jukebox Man or any of those kind of lads. You know, he'll have it put up to him by Galopin Deschamps, but we don't know where Galopin Deschamps is. Like, we have seen the best of Galopin Deschamps already, and he is obviously tapering to some degree. That's still an incredibly high level, but we don't know how high Haiti Clure can go. And I think it's brilliant. Brilliant for Rebecca Curtis, brilliant for, you know, the Welsh National as well. It's been done before. Native River's done it and then gone on to win the race. So it's not, you know, it's not an untrodden path. And yeah, I think they have to do it.
Trivia question for you both. Who can get this? Who's the only horse to have won the English, Welsh and Scottish Nationals?
English, Welsh and Scottish Nationals.
It's not that long ago as well, I think, but I can't remember.
Is it no, it's gone. The Lena Hurd winner.
Earth Summit.
There we go. That's a shout.
Let's get into the Galopin Deschamps race then, folks, as we start our previews of Limerick and Leopardstown. So Leopardstown, half two, Savills Chase, 3 miles, half a furlong, grade one, 12 runners. The going yielding, good to yielding in places. Just looking at the betting here this morning as we record the pod. Galopin Deschamps, 11-8 favourites with William Hill and being backed. I know the way you're thinking is 4-1 drifting, faster, slow, 7-1. Money for Champ Kylie into 15-2. Money for Afridale Fury, the price-wise tip of 10s. Jerry Colomb, 14-1, a bit of a nibble on him. Lecky Watson, 18s. Grange Clare West, 25s. Stellar Story, 40s. Croke Park, money for him this morning, into 33-1 with Hills. 80-1, Monty Star, and I am Maximus, 100-1. Johnny.
Just back Sam Ewing, sure, Afridale Fury. He's a horse that we tipped up in the past a bit, JD.
Yes.
Tipped him up at Down Royal when he was an honourable second to Envoy. Alain, very good against Appreciated subsequently. I feel, you know, it'd be surprising if he were good enough to win this. But this is, it's a funny sort of race. Like, Faster Slow has been very weak in the betting. I actually had a bit of a rumour Galopin Deschamps wasn't necessarily going to even run in this. That might have been nothing, but that was a couple of days ago. I'd just be a little bit worried about him coming back. He's 9 going on 10. some of Willie's horses definitely haven't been really anywhere near 100% of their first run, so it'd be a bit of a concern for me. But like, say my selection in the race is going to be Fast or Slow, who kind of on back form at Leopardstown does need Galopin Deschamps to underperform, but I still felt his run in the John Durkin was creditable, and this race looks a nice fit for him under JJ7, so he'd be my each way selection in the race. And like, we're really really blessed looking at the hurdle, the 2 mile hurdle race as well, like really good, like 8 runner fields practically to beat the band in these races with 12 runners here, and it's that sort of week where you're not going to be ruling out the long shots, and they have sort of a squeak in this race. But this, how do you call the betting here, Bugsy? Like, what prices, I know the way you're thinking, go off?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of race where you can't have a bet until 5 minutes before the off for me, because I'm with you. I wouldn't be surprised if Galopin Deschamps doesn't run here. We'll see how he is, you know, and then you're kind of like, you know, I know the way you're thinking. Like, he was what, 2-1 in places yesterday. He's doubled in price. You know, like, we know he is going to be targeted just one race this year. I mean, I think at the back of this race last year, I was like, oh, I want to back this horse to the Grand National, and then he turned out to be a Gold Cup horse. So, you know, it's intriguing. Look, the horse I've come down on is Champ Kylie. Harry Cobden over to ride his only spin over an extended trip. He did it well at Punchestown last year. You know, he's beaten last time out, but that was about 2 miles at Nace. Lovely kind of tuning run. One thing I found really strange about that, it was on RTE yesterday. Ruby was on RTE yesterday. And if you mention it once, he must have mentioned it a dozen times about the form of Willie Mullins' yard. I don't want to be too conspiratorial about it, but he was very damning about it. He was kind of like, look, the yard is, you know, he's going to say the yard is out of form. And you're kind of like, well, I don't think it is, but just, you know, maybe the two novices being so disappointing was a big contributing factor in that. But he mentioned it several times over the course of the broadcast.
It was the same this time last year, if you remember.
Yes, it was, actually. It was, yes. His downfall was greatly exaggerated, but
like, he had two winners yesterday, Stormheart and Carge Easy.
Yeah. Yeah,
Kitzbühel won well at
Kitzbühel won, and you know, let's be honest, Gaelic Warrior
so has bolted up at Leopardstown.
Yeah,
on the 26th.
And you know, Gaelic Warrior was only beaten what, a couple of heads in King George. Like, it's not, they're not out of form, but it's intriguing that the messaging coming from within the yard is that the yard is out of form.
Of the last month, we've had Gavin Cromwell, Henry de Bromhead, and Willie Mullins at various states being out of form, and that it doesn't really add up.
No, it doesn't really add up, because as we said yesterday, like, Henry de Bromhead, when he's had a favourite, it's gone and won. You know, and as I kind of mentioned yesterday as well, a lot of these fellas will go and ping off loads of races at the start of the season because they're all winning novices and bumpers and maiden hurdles and beginners chases. So, you know, eventually all these winners are going to have to start meeting each other, and invariably they, you know, especially these top trainers, they're not targeting handicaps at this stage of the year, you know, and they will, you know, thin out to a degree. But yeah, I'm intrigued by this race. Yes, I'm still going to tip a Willie Mullins horse and Champ Kylie. I just thought he was the one that maybe could do something. Like Jerry Kalam, after 421 day absence, Jack Kennedy still decides to take the ride. That's really intriguing. And then, I mean, where are you after that? Like, Lecky Watson's an RSA winner, you know, obviously he'll strip fitter for that run as well. You know, it could be one a bit like the John Durkin a couple of years ago, where he ended up with the kind of Willie Mullins outsiders sort of disputing this. But like, really, are we just walking around things here? Like, Galopin Deschamps is a 5-4 favourite. He's absolutely should be short, and that maybe we're just going because he hasn't been seen for 242 days. He's 7 out of 7 over fences at Leopardstown. He is the best horse in the race. You know, okay, officially, they're both rated 176, himself and I am Maximus, but it's I know that you're thinking.
I just think it's very, very hard for staying chasers to keep going and keep going and keep going. Surely at some point he regresses.
At some point, absolutely.
I don't think he's regressed. Yeah. I just don't think he was at his best at Cheltenham last season.
Mm. Yeah, and I think only blip, to be fair.
So 21 by 22 lengths at Punchestown in his last run. So until I see him regress from that, I will not say he's regressing. The ground, there's maybe Willie Mullins in the Sporting Life analysis today is maybe just, you know, mention the ground a bit, the fact that they're watering here at Leopardstown at Christmas. But this is all about Galopin des Champs. Like, he's a horse of a lifetime. He won fresh in 2021 and 2022 on a seasonal reappearance. He won easily. The next two seasons he didn't, but he was going in the John Durkin. But, you know, if he's match ready, he wins. But if he's not match ready, and if, you know, they're thinking about Cheltenham and they're thinking about a hat trick at the Gold Cup, and this race will bring him on, and he, you know, obviously he's not going to be possibly as sharp the first time as he will be the second time, that leaves him vulnerable. But the whole race is about him for me. I mean, he's 11-8, and, you know, it is a brave person to be backing him, but the whole race is about Galopin des Champs for me. So you either take an opinion for him or against him, or you take an opinion with a 12-runner race, Johnny, as you said, as in each way. So I know the way you're thinking. If you're looking back to last year, the whole of the season was working back from the Gold Cup. If that's going to be the case again, the day for, I know the way you're thinking, will be Gold Cup day, and that makes it harder to put your money down on them today with the same confidence that you might next March. Fast or Slow has never won at Leopardstown. I know he was second to Galopin des Champs, but he's a Punchestown horse that, you know, has had a year off. I wouldn't have him. Champ Kylie, maybe he's come back to himself after that win at Punchestown. Afrodel Fury, is he good enough? Jerry Kalam has been away from the track for too long for me. I actually think Lecky Watson at 20-1 has been friendless in the market, but was a good winner of that novice chase at Cheltenham last year, has tuned up for this with a run, and will front run under Sean O'Keefe. And I think of the outsiders for me, I think he could be the one that might surprise a few people and could finish in the first three. Grange Clare West has had some seriously good runs at Leopardstown and then has thrown in some very ordinary runs in his career. And then Croke Park, there's money from, remember, he won the Grade 1 novice last year. So that's the way I assess it.
Yeah, Croke Park is probably, I think I remember him being beaten in a bumper in Kilbeggan back in the day. But he does go well around Leopardstown, you know, beat Better Days Ahead here on the 26th last year. I'd give him a bit of a squeak. It's a race that's, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the market works these out beforehand, because, you know, I know the way they're thinking. He's rarely sent off favourite, JD. He comes alive at Cheltenham. It'll tell us a lot more about Fast or Slow where he's at. I don't think necessarily Fast or Slow, all his roads lead to Cheltenham. I think at this stage they'll be gunning for war today.
Yeah, Lecky Watson for me each way 20s, but it's all about Galopin for me. I mean, Galopin is a horse for a lifetime. I just hope that he runs a good race. If you take the money, take the betting, take the opinions out of it.
Fair.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's get into the Christmas hurdle then. That's at 155, just under 3 miles, 8 runners, which is great, as you said, Johnny. Grade 1 race, Batty Burns in here, Teal Poo's in here, Bob Ollinger, the Stairs hurdle winner from Cheltenham, Home by the Lee, won this in 2022 and 2024. Rocky's Diamond, the young horse trained down to Waterford. And the money has come for the Yellow Clay this morning. So the Yellow Clay is now 9-2 in the colours of the Mourns for Gordon Elliott and Sam Ewing. Batty Burn, 11-8 favourite with Hills, Tiopu drifting to 5-2, Bob Ollinger 17-2, and then the others are all friendless in the market. Home by the Lead 12s, Mystical Power 33s, Rocky's Diamond 33s with Hills, Jatara 66-1.
Yeah, it's the Yellow Clay for me here. I suppose the thing is now he's 9-2 with Hills. I think he was 8-1 yesterday. I just like this horse. You're reliant on the 8-1ers taking their chance, but I just like him as a staying hurdler this season. He was extremely reliable as a novice last year. I suppose you would say he was disappointing behind Colonel Mustard on his return at Navan, but like that, it still wasn't a bad run. Colonel Mustard was in great nick. He was race fit. Tiopu for me, I have a small concern about the ground for him. It's been proper, you know, decent ground at Leopardstown. And Ballyburn, I just couldn't have him at all at the prices. I do feel over 3 miles, he'll be a tricky enough ride. Paul Townend has looked a bit betwixt and between on him in terms of the trip as a novice anyway, when, you know, in Cheltenham they were sort of holding him up to get the trip, and that turned out to be a mess, and then he wasn't good enough at Punchestown. I still have my reservations about him going back hurdling. So the price has come in a bit, obviously, but I feel that the Yellow Clay is rock solid each way under that man Sam.
Tom?
Yeah, I'm intrigued by how much water they've put on the course. I don't think it could possibly, you know, ever be enough to keep everyone happy at this time of year. I'm very tempted by Bob Ollinger, but Tiopu's the best of these. I don't. Tia Hoopoe is, I feel like sometimes I'm the only person who thinks Tia Hoopoe's a good horse. But like even his owner is always talking about Bob Olinger and not Tia Hoopoe. I would absolutely forgive him the run the last day. Now, the one thing, again, it is the ground. Jack Kennedy did suggest that maybe the ground at Ferry House, just it was quick enough. But that was, I feel that was more just because it was 2.5 miles. Whereas when you step up to 3 miles, his absolute out and out staying power should be enough. And again, this is the kind of race where I wouldn't be having a bet until half an hour beforehand, because I still think they might make a late decision on Tia Hoopoe to, you know, if they go in the opening race and it comes up in any way good, he might still be taken out of the race. So, you know, I definitely have that in the back of my mind. I love Bob Olinger each way, just the way the race could be run. Again, like Johnny says, I just can't have Ballyburn in my mind. This horse is, I mean, I feel like I'm struggling. You know, obviously he was high class in 2024, but it's tricky to, he couldn't be relying on him since then. And, you know, that path where I really don't like it when they go hurdles, chases, back to hurdles, you know, and that's what they've done with him. Yes, he is clearly a better hurdler and it probably suits them to keep him fit and keep him right to go hurdling, but it's just such an afterthought. And yeah, I prefer staying hurdlers who are staying hurdlers, and that's what Tia Hoopoe is. He's the best staying hurdler in Ireland. He might be the best staying hurdler in Ireland and the UK. And I think at 5-2, I think he's an outstanding price. He should win, and I'm not too bothered about the ground, especially if they put enough water on it to ensure the Calipin Deschamps wins. There should be enough water on it for Tia Hoopoe.
Give the gift of rugby this Christmas. Make sure the rugby fan in your life kicks off 2026 the right way by seeing Munster take on Cast Saturday, January 17th at 5:30 p.m. in Thomond Park. Tickets available now at munsterrugby.ie.
This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like Jojo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at weightwatchers.com.
Well, I think Calipin Deschamps will win regardless of the ground.
Sorry, I don't mean, I meant to say run, not win. Sorry, but yeah.
I actually have a different view on Ballyburn, lads. I think Ballyburn was the most impressive winner I saw at the Cheltenham Festival in 2024. They put him over fences and obviously didn't go to plan. He's back over hurdles now. His first run of the season, he runs Tia Hoopoe to a nose in the Hatton's Grace. If you believe there's more to come over 3 miles, I think he's one of the best of the day.
I couldn't disagree. Yeah.
That's the great thing about it. It's all about opinions.
Yeah.
Couldn't disagree more to Jiddy. And even on Tia Hoopoe, like, and I've had this idea about, in fairness, because connections have said it, like, Tia Hoopoe won at Punchestown only last May, impressively on yielding ground, prior to which he was second on goodness off to Bob Olinger. Like, Tia Hoopoe's price relative to Ballyburn for me is complete madness.
The one actually at a price, if you're looking for an each way play, maybe Rocky's Diamond to 33-1. Like, you got a shrewd Waterford based handler in Declan Queeley, like a Carrigmunir Spruce ran well yesterday, an unfancied mare. The horse is only 5, going on 6, so that's very young for a staying hurdler. Third in the race last year as a 4-year-old, then 4th in the stairs hurdle, reverting to hurdling after tackling fences. The ground will suit this horse. I think this horse is one to follow. Whatever he does. And I think at 33-1, if you're talking about getting the first 3 with question marks over some of these, especially Bob Olinger and Home by the Lee, in terms of where they are on their reappearances, he's an interesting one for me of the outsiders, Rocky's Diamond.
Yeah, that run last year, like, for the age of the horse, was quite incredible, like, behind Home by the Lee, and he will always be remembered for being that leg of the Declan Queeley double back in the day, back in Limerick on the 19th of April 2024, when he just had a winner at Ballinrobe, and people who laid that horse at 20-1 in a maiden hurdle that day, they didn't know he was Rocky's Diamond.
Yeah.
I don't know the story now, but
obviously there was an issue with some people getting paid out on the double, but it was a brilliantly executed double. Rocky's Diamond, like, he was in a maiden hurdle that day, he was some bet, but, like, as you say, JD, 4 years of age to run as well as he did last year.
Yeah, 33-1, folks, might be worth a euro each way, which we save at all our 33-1 shots until they win, which is maybe once a year. But we did have Glenn Gooley recently. Limerick has the Fahy Novice Chase, a grade one, 140. Patrick Mullins has gone down to ride Final Demand, who's only been defeated once, which was at Cheltenham last season. He's won 5 of 6 races. The ground at Limerick will suit him. He looked a natural at Navan on his chasing debut. He'll improve for that. But Jimmy Desai is no back number. He won at Cheltenham in the Carroll Cup. He beat the Big Westerner, who won for Johnny yesterday on his chasing debut at Ferry House last month. He'll present Final Demand with something to think about. Gold Dancer and Western Walk complete the lineup. Is this a Final Demand's day? Final Demand's day, is it, Johnny?
Probably. I've been really excited by this horse since he's, you know, since he's been run over hurdles, including it, particularly I suppose at Leopardstown when he won the Grade One at the Dublin Racing Festival. Just the way he goes through his races, you're like, this horse is going to be a monster over fences, and he might well be that. Like, he smashed Wingman at Navan. The problem I have with this race is you're taking 4-11 in a novice chase against this is including on a horse who hasn't really proven it off the bridle to me yet, taking on Jimmy Desai. And I, as I said yesterday, I really fancy the Big Westerner against Jimmy Desai at Ferry House, and he smashed her, like really smashed her. So to be honest, at the prices, I'd probably go with Jimmy Desai, but it's a race I'd be happy to observe. Gold Dancer is out to 25-1 with William Hill. Like, that just shows. And even the other horse, Western Walk, is available at 200-1 with William Hill. This is not a bad horse by any stretch, and it's a novice chase, remember. And we might remember a particular incident in this race involving Danny Mullen and Patrick Mullins. Mad things can happen in it. I'm really looking forward to seeing Final Demand. Not for me though, at 4-11.
Yeah, and to be fair, after that incident, you know, the horse that was beaten has turned out to be, you know, multiple Grade One winners. So yeah, Final Demand, look, I love Final Demand, and I just hope he turns up and wins, and then we can go and head towards the old, what's called, Brown Advisory. I was going to call it the RSA. But yeah, because I suppose now with the middle distance race being a handicap, you got to go and watch for these better horses who are trying to fit in more runs during the season. But yeah, Final Demand, you'd imagine, goes and wins this. And like you said, the form of his beginner's chase is very, very good. Now, as is Jimmy Desai's, but I don't know, I just think Final Demand has that class edge that'll get him through here.
Danny and Patrick again as well.
It's a great little story. Great story. I hope they have a ding-dong battle or something. There's another. You know, if Danny wins, would you like to see him give the old celebration for a bit of crack? He's wild. He could do anything, that lad.
The Big Westerner's jumping yesterday, JD, was a sight to behold. And I think Final Demand is in that. Yeah, I think Final Demand's in that bracket as well. Just watch this horse. And he's out of Zuzka, who was such a good mare. I think she was part of Patrick's record breaking back in the day. So this horse means a lot to Patrick Mullins, who hasn't ridden him over flights yet. And if you're having a forecast bet, that's fine. If you're putting an accumulator and your Final Demand in, that's fine. If you're backing Jimmy Desai, that might be value in the race, but you don't need to have a bet in this to watch these novices.
Just looking at the, and this is the reason why we're doing this podcast on the morning of the races, folks, in the Tim Duggan Memorial Handicap Chase, the other big race at Limerick at 2:15, the non-runner now. And now, what do you think is a non-runner? And was quite fancied. And Rebel Gold is a non-runner as well. So the market is now being kind of, I suppose, reconstituted. Conyers Hill, 15-8 favourite with Hills. Di Capo, 9-2. Carilla de Blaze, 11-2. Ballyball Belter, 6-1. Uncle Pat, there was money for that even before the withdrawal. He's now 6-1. Dancing Germany, the winner last year, Dancing Germany, is 10-1. El Champo for Philip Rothwell, 12-1. And Bushman's Pass, the outsider, at 18-1, the Shane McGowan price. I mean, Conyers Hill went to Cheltenham and ran well and tuned up for that with a good run here over course and distance. I actually like the one that's been pulled out. Now, what do you think? So I'm a bit of a loss now after seeing that. It probably will be Conyers Hill day, but do you have an opinion, lads?
I like Di Capo. Sorry, go on.
Go ahead, Bugsy.
Yeah, on the sort of having watched the classy 80 Killer, yes, I'm not saying Di Capo is any shade of that, but I just think maybe, you know, he's a very, very progressive horse. Again, just with the better ground we've had this sort of winter, you know, he's giving a lot of weight away. Just as Carilla de Blaze is their second in the weights, so he's getting, you know, he's giving away over a stone. Well, just shy of that with Carl Miller's claim, but I thought Di Capo could be the class act in the race, and Yeah, just the weight probably might not come into play as much just with the slightly better ground. So I thought I was quite sweetened to Capo here.
Yeah, De Capo definitely has a chance. Karen Miller taking off the five will be a help. I'm with Conyers Hill, but like a 2-1, God, I mean, he's a horse that's...
Yeah, he's very short.
Very short. Like, I've seen him a few times at the races, and he's one of these strong travelling walk in the parks who doesn't necessarily find an awful lot. Like, I've not seen he's ungenuine, but, I mean, at this stage, it looks a tricky race to me, and we're just hoping that we have enough runners for the each-way places, because there are plenty of alternatives in the race. Dancing Jeremy, if he were ready to roll, given how good he was in the race last year, I've said £7 lower under Philip Donovan. I'd be very, very much respecting him, but it's a tricky one for me, JD.
Just it is interesting for me that Patrick Mullins is staying for the bumper at Limerick as well at 5-4, on looking for 8 related to Sortudo, and he's 7-4 with Hills up against the Charles Burns horse, Rojujo Mac, who is the 11-8 favourite. But looking for 8, Patrick Mullins might be worth a look, folks, in the last at Limerick.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just. I'd be kind of worried about the ground, maybe potentially for that horse. But just Rojoko Mac, that the form of that horse is run was second, half a length second to Ballyfad, and I couldn't really see Ballyfad beating the favourite in the first race on day one. He was mighty impressive. So that form does look good, and there were streets ahead of fourth on that occasion. So I do feel Rojoko Mac will be hard to beat.
So what at Leopardstown have we noticed in the other races, Tom? Are you picking other things up from the other races? Any other races that are interesting you at Leopardstown?
Just before I was going to look at the early handicap hurdle, but just you mentioned it there earlier, the quality of jumping we've actually seen. I know there have been one or two fallers, as you'll obviously say, from Marine Nationale, but geez, the standard of jumping we've seen and the jumps racing we've seen over the last couple of days, just something at all, was absolutely exceptional. You know, the King George, what a brilliant finish.
Did you see the jockey cam on that?
I actually didn't see the jockey cam.
Oh, they've got a jockey cam on Ben Jones for the King George.
Yeah, definitely check
on Racing TV. It's on the Racing TV Twitter. It's just, folks, because we all watch races like from the stands or on the television, and it's completely different. And as you know, as a rider yourself, Tom, him knowing where the other horses are, and you just see Banbridge come alongside him in the last whatever 100 yards, and then he gets back up and he knows he's won. Even though it was so close, he knows he's won. But
that footage is magic because Ben Jones celebrates so early. Yeah, of all the experiences I definitely like, I think to have a spin on Ile Francais when he's out the front jumping around Kempton like that's definitely one of the things that I'd love to experience in my life, because it seems like a brilliant thing. And obviously, Kits Buell, the way he jumped as well was fantastic on St. Stephen's Day. And just one other thing we haven't actually mentioned just in the 2 days, Sergino lighting up the champion hurdle picture, and it's absolutely brilliant to see him back and new champion hurdle favourite. Obviously, I'm not on tomorrow, so intrigued to see what happens with sort of Lossie Mouth and stuff like that in the Leopardstown version. But that was good to see him back and shaking up a champion hurdle picture that needed to be shaken up.
And if you're talking about, obviously, you know, we'll have you on soon again, Tom, and I know you're on the 2nd of January with Johnny, but is there a horse you picked out the last few days? Is there a horse? Oh, I'm definitely putting that in my notebook.
I still think Gaelic Warrior could be a Gold Cup horse in time. Again, depends what happens today. Sorry, the selection today is the Naga Reedy elsewhere on the Leopardstown card.
Where's that?
Just
now?
On the 12:45 at Leopardstown, that handicap hurdle. Around about 5-1 there for Sonny Carey and Michael Keneally, who's an absolutely brilliant £7 claimer.
He's a favourite now with Hills.
Yeah. Naga Reedy 5-1. Oh, he's gone 5 now. Yeah, he's 5-1 there in that handicap hurdle, the 12:45. So that was just something else on the Leopardstown card. But yeah, just really, yeah, it was good to really get your teeth into the racing over the last couple of days. It's just, I feel like the season has just been limping along a little bit, and we've really kind of kicked into gear these last few days.
I think you've noticed in other races today, Johnny.
I think it's just the horse I take out of the festival might possibly be Talk the Talk. Just this confidence that Sam Ewing rode on that horse yesterday. He's out of Walk the Walk, so Talk the Talk is kind of a cool name, but he's really, really impressive 4-year-old. I like that horse going forward. In terms of today at Leopardstown, I actually thought it was a quiet enough punt in day, JD. I thought Limerick might have slightly better kind of punting opportunities, but in the first race at Leopardstown, just looking at that, Lazar the Star is an interesting horse. Can he keep Gordon Elliott? It's a good run going. I don't know if he's short enough now at about 4-7, and certainly the Hyde's Mod the Night, the Rhythm of the Night rather, of Martin Brassels, he was quite well fancied at Punchestown. I'd be keeping an eye on him, the Rhythm of the Night, under Ricky Doyle. But my best selection today would probably be Rajoko Mack, actually, in the bumper at Limerick. Right. But yeah, Leopardstown, I thought tricky enough punting wise.
There was another one just in the beginner's chase as well. I thought Padder Merchant, like, if he holds his form against Kiss Will, and obviously, you know, it's kind of been mentioned as well that Gordon, you can't train a loser at the moment. But, you know, Padder Merchant and Kiss Will were pretty well matched last time out. Kiss Will is 7-4. Padder Merchant is 8-1. Again, as we mentioned, with these Jigginstown horses in beginners' chases and maiden hurdles, they run, they'll be up in the van. So at 8-1, just to finish in the first three, I think is a very good bet. Padder Merchant there, number six, at 120.
Carl de Terrell, I think you've tipped him before, Johnny. He's in there 22-1.
Yeah, he's a nice horse. Like, this is, it's just a really, really strong race. I imagine that the roads lead to Cheltenham with him. He ran and he ran quite a nice race. I think I tipped him in the Pertemps last year. He's a horse I've followed a bit. I remember tipping him in a race at Limerick where he was kind of second and being a bit disappointed. But he's just an old fashioned sort of staying chaser, I think. And he's still only a 5-year old. Really intriguing horse going forward. I'm just not sure today is the day to be siding with him. But a red hot beginner's chase that. My selection, that'll be Shuffle the Deck. I liked his run behind Spool at Punchestown, and should come on from that.
The bumper at Leopardstown, I'm looking here at the odds. Jody Tennant is riding the favourite, Bentra Hill, for William Mullins. 5-4 with William Hill. City of Cork and the same owners as Home by the Lee, 2-1. Joseph Bryan trains that. And then you're looking at Lemmy Caution, Josh Williamson, 7-2. And then Tino De Verano, Alan O'Sullivan, who had the winner of the bumper yesterday, is a 12-1 shot.
I'm loving the commitment of the owners anyway. The red and white colours, Home by the Lee, City of Cork.
Well, they didn't call it Lovely Hurling, to be fair to them.
Yeah. Or the real capital.
Next. Yeah. They were the ones they didn't get through, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we do these shows. I mean, I said it the other day, there's money for Morn Rambler in the morning at 1, at 8-1. I was going, oh my God, when I watched it live, I was going, sure, we were mentioning that because the market had moved for it in the morning. Is there anything else? I mean, that horse of Alan Sullivan's has been backed, Tino De Verano.
Yeah, Yvonne Latta and Andrew, they do well at this meeting. They have a very, very small number of horses, but that race, Bentra Gill is really intriguing, half brother to Party Central, who's a slight bridle merchant for Gordon Elliott, but a good horse. And Gordon has Lemmy Caution here, who's probably better than I would say that he showed at Navan, but I'm not a big fan of bumpers, even though my bet of the day is in a bumper today. I'm not a big fan of this race as a punted medium.
Okay, so this has been the third of four episodes of the Racing Pod's Christmas special on Off the Ball. A reminder that the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to be back at 10:30 in the morning for our final day preview of Christmas racing at Leopardstown and Limerick with Johnny and Don McLean of the Sunday Times. And we look forward to having your company then. So let's just get our picks before we go. Tom Malone of the Irish Field, what are you picking today?
I'm sticking with Tia Hupo in the Stairs race. I like Champ Kylie in the chase, and my bet of the day is the Nagger Reedy at 12:45. So 12:45, the Nagger Reedy there for Sonny Carey and Michael Caneady.
Okay, so 12:45 at Leopardstown on Sunday, the Nagger Reedy, a 5-1 shot. And Tom has also gone for Teopu in the Christmas Hurdle at 1:55 at Leopardstown, and then Champ Kylie each way in the 2:30 at Leopardstown, the Savills Chase. Johnny, your picks are?
Rajoko Mack in the bumper, the 3:55 at Limerick, and maybe as a Leopardstown selection, the Yellow Clay, maybe you'll get a bit better price if the Ave runners turn up. I feel he's capable of a big, big run in the 1:55.
Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for Mad Outsiders, guys. Rocky's Diamond, 33-1 in the 1:55 at Leopardstown, and in the 2:30 at Leopardstown, the Savills Chase. I'm going to go for Lecky Watson each way at 20-1. And my pick of the day is actually going to be against you, Johnny. It's going to be in Limerick in the bumper at 3:55. Patrick Mullins and William Mullins going to go for Looking for Eight, and maybe I'll have an after eight afterwards if it wins. Guys, thanks so much. We'll speak soon.
Cheers. Eddie.
Cheers, folks. Good luck.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.